Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, I'm going to demonstrate how to perform common tasks that you'll want to perform when utilizing DocumentDB in your applications. So we're going to create a new account, which is kind of where we get started with all this. Then we'll create a quick start example, file new project, quick starts, and I'll show you how to set that up and make sure that you can get that running, and we'll look through some of the code there. And then I'm going to open up a wealth of sample code that's available from the DocumentDB team to show you where you can find more industrial strength examples. Now, I'm using the examples from Microsoft because they're good samples. I don't need to write my own. And secondly, I don't know that it's so important that we focus on the source code itself. I'm sure the API is going to change. We're still, as I record this, just very early into the beta process. So it's really not all that important to get into the specifics as it is to get a mental model of how you'll interact with DocumentDB. So to get started, you can see that I'm here in the preview portal. Again, as I record this, the preview portal is the only place that you can get started by creating a new DocumentDB account. To create a new DocumentDB account, I'll go to the new button on the bottom and select DocumentDB. You only have a few choices here. First of all, we're going to give this a name like Bob Test, make sure that it's available. And then I can change the capacity units. During development, I doubt that I'll need more than one capacity unit. Again, that's going to give me plenty of firepower to just practice. I can also change the location. I'll choose East US. All the other options are either you know them or they're not changeable, like the pricing tier. Again, it's just in beta, so they have one pricing tier available. Note that it takes about 10 minutes to create a DocumentDB account. I don't want to wait for 10 minutes. I could click the create button and wait. However, I've already created a DocumentDB account and practiced against it. So I'm just going to open that up. And you can see that here are some of the common things that you would expect to see in the preview portal. We'll talk about several of these items as we go through the remainder of these lessons. But pretty much for the most part, the most important thing that we'll want to look at are the keys, the primary and the secondary key, and the URI. And we'll need that whenever we're building applications that will access the DocumentDB. Notice that in addition to the primary and secondary key that we've seen throughout this entire series, there's also the ability to create read-only keys, which is pretty interesting as well. Go ahead and close that out. One of the things that I found very useful during development is the use of the Document Explorer under Development Tools. I'm going to go ahead and click that. And this allows me to look at the data that's currently in my database. I can choose a collection and then be able to see all of the documents, the JSON documents that have been stored. Now, this is as a result of some source code that I'll show you from the Quick Start here in just a moment. But these are the three documents that I currently have stored in my Quick Start database under a collection called Documents. There's also this, let's get back over here. There's also this useful query explorer that allow us to learn how to create queries, SQL queries, and we'll talk about this in a couple of modules from now. But essentially, it's just the ability you can write the DocumentDB SQL, execute it, and then see the results here in this result pane. Very neat. You also have the ability to monitor and create alerts for various usage thresholds. We'll not talk about that in this series. Okay, so that's a pretty good overview of what you can do from the preview portal. Let's begin by looking at and creating a new file, new project in Visual Studio. I'm going to go to the Visual C Sharp Cloud Quick Starts and choose the Azure Document DB and click OK. Now, the one thing that you're going to have to do, like we've done before, is to make sure you resolve some of the references that have gone out of date since they created these templates. And then we're also going to have to make one or two modifications in order for this to work. I've already gone through that process, and I'll show you the end result here in just a moment. But there is one thing that's a little bit different than what we've done before. You can see that we've got this Microsoft.Azure.Documents.Client. This is the .NET client reference. You can see there's a little caution sign next to it. What we can do is just right-click on this and select, unfortunately, it popped up out of my recordable range, but manage NuGet projects or packages rather. And it says that some NuGet packages are missing from the solution. Click to restore your online package sources. All right, so I can click restore. Now, when you're creating your own applications, and especially in the beta period, you want to choose the include pre-release before you look for the package microsoft.azure.documents.client. If you take a look at this URL here, let me copy it and paste it into a viewable area while that's working. We'll open up a new tab here. And this is the NuGet page for the DocumentDB client library for .NET. And it shows you the package manager console command that you would type to install the package, and notice that it has the pre flag as well. All right, so let me close that, and we should be getting close to ready. Let's go ahead and look and see there. Okay, we'll update again. I accept. All right, and I think we should be ready to go now. It looks like that caution sign is gone, so that's good. If you try to right-click and select a build at this point, you might get an error. Well, actually, you get a build, but if you try to actually run the application, it's not going to work. And that's because we're missing two things. The first thing that we're missing is that you'll notice, if we take a look at the source code itself, at the very top, it's going to create some static properties for the endpoint and the auth key. Now, going back into the portal, we could grab those from this little keys area on the DocumentDB account blade. And I can copy, for example, the secondary key, I'll allow access, and paste it into an app settings in my app config. Notice that it doesn't exist, so I would create like app settings section, and then I would add a key and a value like so. And I would paste that in and call that the, what do they call it here? The auth key. So let's copy that and like so. We would do the same thing for the endpoint. The endpoint in this case is the URI. So you could copy that whole thing out. I think you copy the whole thing. I don't think you need to leave anything off. You should be okay there. All right, so like I said a moment ago, I already have one of these that are currently working. So let me go ahead and close this down, and I'll go ahead and save it, but I'm not going to use it. There is one significant change. So here's what the app config will look like, first of all, after we're done with it. I'll have two app settings to get this to work, an endpoint key and an auth key, and you'll set those appropriately. And then the other significant change that you'll have to make is in the models. Now, the models will just contain plain old CLR objects, but kind of the what do you call the document root or the domain root, it has to, if you look at the version that comes with the template, it derives from, I think it's document. Yeah, that's what it does. However, this is incorrect. You have to set this to resource instead. Okay, it's just a change in the API, a little bug in their template. So once we've done that, we can run the application. Let me pull this out so you can view it. And it goes through a series of operations, creating various objects that allow you to have a handle to the DocumentDB database, and then also getting a reference to a collection. And then if it exists, you want to delete the collection, recreate a collection, and start inserting documents into it. And if that went successfully, then you start querying for documents, and you can see that we're just querying and grabbing some information. And I think I even modified mine a little bit so that I can show you how to pull additional information. So let's take a look at that code that performs some of these tasks. It's nicely set up so that it kind of steps you through a storyline, and it gives you these little console.write lines that announce what's going to happen next. And then it calls out to each of these little helper methods that perform certain things like read or create a database, read or create a collection, and then create documents. That should all make sense. Let's take a look at creating the documents. Let's go to the declaration of that. Move this over a little bit. And There are a couple of different ways to create documents. You can see that this is calling create document async, and it's creating a new instance of a family object. So in our models folder, our family class, it creates a new instance of it and then uses property initializers to set the ID of the family, and then it creates an array of parents, an array of children, and an array of pet objects, also found here in the models folder, all right? And then this will return, since it's async, it'll return a task. We do this a couple of times, and then we're gonna say, now wait for all the tasks to be complete before moving on, and then go ahead and say the documents were successfully created. So you can literally take your POCO classes, and as long as they inherit from resource, then you can automatically serialize them just using this method, create document async. All right, so back to the matter hand. Let's go back to the top here. And we've created our documents. Now we're going to query our documents. We're going to spend a whole module on querying, but let's go ahead and take a look at that declaration as well. Gives you three good examples of how to query using a link query, a lambda query, what I also call link method syntax. It uses lambdas. And then also just using SQL. In each of these cases, it's using a generic method called create document query. There's a couple of overloads of this, but essentially you can use it in a number of different ways to actually create a query object. And then that query object is executed whenever you start calling methods on it. In this case, we're saying, give us the results as an enumerable list. And then I want to find the first item in that list, and it should be of type family, and I want to pull a property from that family, the family name. And we do the same sort of thing in this next example, and we do the same sort of thing in this last example, just passing in kind of a hard-coded string, a SQL query against our document DB. Now, I added this little chunk here because I wanted to see if you're just getting back the parent or if you're getting back all of the children as well, all of the child objects that are related to it. And sure enough, you can grab the family, but you can also iterate through the collection of parents or the array of parents and list those. And I've done that. Okay, so moving on then, let's go back up to the top of this example. And it shows how to clean up, how to delete the database and things of that nature. I commented that out because I wanted to actually see the data and view it myself here in the portal. And if you delete it right away, then you won't be able to go in here and use this document explorer to look through it. So that was my rationale, but you would, by default, it's uncommented. Okay. Now that's one good example, and it's a great starting point, and I'm not going to belabor the point. I am going to of explaining it, what everything does here. I do want to point something out, though. You'll constantly see this term self-link, and it's in reference to just about everything. So let's copy and find that self-link in this current document. So there's a database self-link, a collection self-link. There's the collection self-link again. All right, and that's all there is. But what are these self-links that's referring to? Well, basically, the self-link is just a URI to get back to that resource. You'll recall that that essentially the API, the main API, is the RESTful HTTP-based API. And so every resource, let me get to a little diagram here. Every resource inside of your document DB account has a URI, a standardized URI. So for example, if you wanted to get to a specific collection, you would call whatever the URL name is. So in my case, the URI is this https://bob.documents.azure.com:443 for secure sockets /calls/ and then whatever the identifier is. All right, so basically the self-link that you see in the .NET API is just a way to specify that, hey, this is my name as far as document DB is concerned, and so this is my link. So just when you need to use me, whether I'm a database or a collection or whatever, here is my URI to get back to me. And so that's why it's used prolifically throughout this particular client library. that was something that was a little bit of a gotcha for me. I'm like, what in the world is a self-link thing? So hopefully that clears that up for you. All right, I said that there's also a better set or a more complete set of examples. Let me find that here. And it's available at this URL on screen right now. And furthermore, Ryan Krockhauer, I think I'm saying his name correctly. He's in, from New Zealand, I believe. He was extremely helpful to me, tweeted back and forth with me and explained a lot of things. I want to thank him for his help. But I found this set of examples that he created, or at least that he published, and it's fairly exhaustive. So let me suggest that you download it, you unzip it to your local hard drive, open it up. Now, if you're like me, there were a couple of things that needed to be fixed with it in order to get it to work. Let me see, am I in the right spot? No, that's not what I wanted. Let's see, yeah, there it is. So you're gonna have to resolve a lot of those failed references again to the Microsoft.Azure.Documents.Client, and also you're gonna need to point this to, in the app settings.config, you're gonna need to point this to your information that you get from the preview portal, and you can see these are all just dummied out, but you'd have to set those up to get this to really work. But you can see here that there are sample projects for basically everything. If you want to dive deep on queries, take a look at this. I mean, he shows literally dozens of different examples of how to query in various ways. Query all documents, query with equality, query with inequality, query with range, query with subdocuments, query with joins, with the SQL query spec that allows you to to call out to a stored procedure or to call out to a SQL statement and then pass in input parameters, query with paging async, and so on. So look at the kind of topic matter that this covers. Not only queries, but then also user management, creating users and giving users permission in the system, and then demonstrating how the permissions work whenever a user attempts to use their permission set to access records or collections that they don't have access to. All right. Collection management, creating, updating, deleting collections, creating, updating, deleting databases. Document management, this is huge. Tweaking indexes and so on. Also, creating server-side scripts, and we'll come back to that example a little bit later when I devote a whole module to just talking about that. But this is an invaluable resource. I'm glad I found it, and I hope that helps you out too. So I think that's all that I really wanted to say about performing common tasks. Really, this was just pointing you into the direction to find some of these, some sample code that will help you perform some of these common tasks. I'm sure you're not going to memorize anything that I say or demonstrate anyway, so I would always point you to those examples, and you can also find in the documentation here. Let me navigate to it real quick here. Whoops, that's not the one I wanted. All right, so if you go to, if you find this URL that you can see on screen right now, DocumentDB documentation, if you scroll down, you can see that there's just all these documents, and the Getting Started with DocumentDB is a great resource. However, I would say that the code examples are nearly identical, a little bit different, but nearly identical to what you get in the Quick Start. So you can just do that, but follow through with the explanations and things of that nature in order to get a more well-rounded understanding of those common tasks. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say in this module. We'll pick it up with a little more advanced cases in the next module. We'll see you there. Thanks.